You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Michael Kist.
You caught me not listening again.
Benjamin Solak.
You never listen.
It's the Kist and Solak Show, presented by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation.
You are flying high on the Kist and Solak Show. This is episode 113, brought to you by the fine folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. That's K-I-S-T. As always, joined by the best doggone co-host in the game, Mr. 9-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. Follow his work at thedraftnetwork.com. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K.
Hello.
Ben, week 4 preseason action. How many ammonium poppers did you run through during this game?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's the first weekend of college football. I had multiple bad college football games on the TV, as well as this bad football game in the professional league. And all of it was not great, but I enjoyed it because it was live football, and some of it actually mattered. And that, yeah. Michael, in and of itself, is a very good thing.
Yeah, we got to see some Clemson. Chip Kelly is losing right now. I have that on in the background. But tonight or this morning, whenever you're hearing this, gentle listener, we're going to talk about takeaways from the preseason game with the Eagles going up against the Jets in a thrilling 0-6 loss. We're also going to talk about some Jadeveon Clowney trade rumors, and then we'll get into some roster predictions as there's a few spots up for grabs before the final cutdown Saturday, 4 p.m. I think my biggest takeaway from this thing, Deshaun Hall, man. Winner of the Deshaun Hall of Fame preseason award that I just created just now for excellence in preseason performance. He continues to shine, had a strip sack tonight, and overall played well. Instead of talking roster predictions right now because he's making this team, I think we can talk about the fact that I think he's solidified himself as the fourth edge rusher on this team and will get first crack at those reps when the season starts 2 Sundays from now. What about you, Ben? Do you agree with that?
Well, I think he's a lock for the roster. I think that edge four, in terms of who divides snaps, Josh Sweat and Deshaun Hall, when it comes to the regular season, I don't think that's decided just yet, to be honest. I think that's something you'll figure out more in the regular season. Mm. We got to remember that these guys are going up against significantly worse talent than they are. Like, the Eagles' third team defensive line was just obliterating. I mean, yeah. Embarrassing. Yeah. The Jets' third team offensive line. The depth on their defensive line is unbelievable. And so these guys, Deshaun Hall, Josh Sweat, better than the players they were facing. It's going to be interesting to watch and see what they are against ones when they're in the rotation. Hall has every game played better and better and better in the preseason. He has clearly earned his spot on the roster. He was playing in the fourth quarter, but also, like, you know, Sharif Miller had to be out there, which I guess Sharif's below him. But either way, Hall was out there for a little bit in the fourth quarter, which is a little odd. Sweat wasn't, but Sweat's also more injury prone. So I'm not surprised that you wanted to kind of hold Sweat from playing some significant snaps in a game that doesn't matter. Both Sweat and Hall make the roster. They'll be edge 4 and edge 5. And then the question is, Sharif Miller, is he going to be edge 6
right,
and make the team? That's one that's a question mark. And really what you have to acknowledge there is, like, we either are keeping him because we really believe that his development matters, or we're going to expose him to waivers and he's almost undoubtedly going to get picked up by some team. Because this is a nice fourth round pick, right? So, like, this is a good athlete. I'm sure teams would have selected on day 3 and they're going to have room for him. And so it's definitely, I think Miller's going to be really hard to get in the practice squad is the moral of the story.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't keep him, but they invested a fourth round pick in him like 4 months ago. So I'm not sure how much they've actually changed their minds.
Any other takeaways other than pouring one out for Wendell Smallwood and Clayton Thorson, who both were just awful tonight. Josh Adams too, who at one point I think was relegated to gunner on punts. Yes. It's an end of an era for some guys, and Thorson's like barely began. He looked like I said it on Twitter, he needed to put his brain in a Ziploc bag, put it in the sink with some water, and just let that puppy thaw out for 30 minutes because he's just slow, so slow to process and just doesn't have the arm. He turned a perfect turkey hole shot into a freaking hospital ball. It was bad again for him. They got shut out. It was a bad performance overall. Any other takeaways from the game itself, which was pretty uneventful other than that?
Pouring out for Smallwood, certainly. I think Smallwood's definitely getting cut. Josh Adams, I think, is also a poor one-out candidate. We would be remiss to not notice on this podcast that Danelle Pumphrey is definitely a poor one-out candidate as well. The Eagles' running back room is set. It's going to be Sproles, it's going to be Clement, it's going to be Sanders, and it's going to be Howard. Those are the four, and it's not going to be any more than that. Quarterback room is also set. Thorson is, I imagine, going to get cut and then hopefully be kept onto the practice squad, but that's also not a given. I would imagine he makes it. I'm a little more scared about Miller, but I do think that Thorson makes it onto the practice squad. So yeah, quarterback set, running back is set. I think wide receiver is set. Mac Collins is not in danger of being cut. I mean, I think he's clearly healthy. He's played the last two games, and he's a big part of their special teams approach. And so accordingly, I think Collins is going to make it. And then offensive line probably also set. The only way you would not be set at offensive line is if you really feel like you need to keep a 10th because Brandon Brooks is still banged up, in which case Steven Wisniewski and Nate Herbig are now both inside the conversation. But really what it's most likely to be is going to be 9, the starting 5, Andre Dillard, Jordan Mailata, Matt Pryor, and Halukulivati Vaitai, and that'll be your 9 going in. So offensively, we're pretty much set at every position, except for tight end. Mm-hmm. Tight end is a weird one. And the reason tight end is weird is because we don't really know what's going on with Richard Rodgers.
Right.
Because if Rodgers has a short-term injury, then he's rostered. If he's a long-term injury, then he's IR, and there's a roster spot temporarily open. If he's really long-term injury, then maybe he's cut with an injury settlement, right? He's waived with injury.
Yeah.
And then there's a roster spot open. So 2 out of the 3 realities, there's a roster spot. 1, there isn't, but we don't have good clarity on his injury and the longevity of it. And we also know that he was injured last year and they brought him back. They clearly want him to be a thing. And so you're definitely looking at Dallas Goedert. You're definitely looking at Zach Ertz. Josh Perkins is the titular tight end 3. Listen, Alex Ellis is a very, like play him on week 1. God, no, I don't want to. But in terms of physical tools and the growth that he's shown, I remember watching him in camp last year and being like, what is this human being?
This
significant improvement in terms of year 2. He's clearly gotten better, so I don't know, he's a guy that I want to keep around. Tight end is the tough room to figure out.
Patriots are gonna snipe, and we'll talk more about roster predictions after the break, but we do want to get to what's been on the tip of everyone's tongue, the toast of the timeline. Jadeveon Clowney wants to be an Eagle, per reports.
Who doesn't?
He wants to maybe be a Seahawk. He's also met with the Dolphins. The reports are that Washington and the New York Jets have spoken with the Texans about acquiring the former first overall selection and 3-time Pro Bowler, who, in my opinion, is coming off his best season as a pro. But there's more than a few things to unpack here regarding Clowney, and I really haven't been able to sound off on this, so excuse me, Ben, but the Eagles, when they look at this guy, they have to look at certain things. So, I mean, there's the quote-unquote motor concerns with him floating around the timeline sometimes, and I'll tell you, I think that's entirely a holdover from the pre-draft process, which, by the way, his final season for the Gamecocks, he played through a sports hernia when he honestly didn't even have to play a down when it concerned his draft stock. And when I watched his film from last year, I saw nonstop hustle, man, making plays outside of the core of the formation, chasing guys downfield. I don't see that as an issue. Now, I'll say this. If you're concerned about a guy with work ethic concerns in his past or rumored work ethic concerns, and I don't know what to believe in that regard, but if that's a concern for you, then yes, it does scare you that he had, again, in my opinion, his best season as a pro when he was fighting for a new contract. I won't dismiss that entirely, not saying that I'm necessarily worried about it, but again, I'm not plugged into his daily routine or his brain, and I don't know.
Mike, if you're not bringing direct insights into Jadeveon Clowney's working mind, what are you bringing to the podcast?
I mean, a lot of people are bringing it to the timeline pretty recklessly right now.
I'm shocked. Let me tell you, I am just slack-jawed that people know what's been going on in Jadeveon Clowney's head for the last 5-7 years of his life.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, though. What I did see from Clowney from his film is some technical advancements in his game last year. And those advancements, they don't come without working pretty hard on your craft. So I'm not really worried about that. I'll also add, if you're concerned about his injury history, the torn lateral meniscus in his knee in 2014, the microfracture on that same knee required months later after complications, the 2 arthroscopic surgeries on his knee after the 2016 and 2017 seasons, I really don't know what to say. I'm not Dr. Chow. I'm not Pro Football Doc.
Oh boy, but I do love it when you say lateral meniscus, let me tell you.
Well, look, there is a history to be aware of. Any team trading for him would obviously want to check that out, and we'll check that out. So I'll leave that to the professionals. I did think it was odd in this whole saga with the Texans that they tried to franchise Clowney as a linebacker, which would cost them almost $2 million this year. And if they tagged him a second time, which they could, would cost him another $2 million the following year. So almost $4 million. So I don't blame Clowney for not signing that. And I'm not sure why the NFLPA hasn't filed the grievance yet per Albert Breer. And I also don't think that he's going to a team that's saying that's what we want to pay you, and that's all we'll pay you for this year is that franchise tag as a linebacker, because it's costing him money. But he's not a linebacker. I mean, when we talked about him in the preview, right, we were like falling over ourselves praising him for how well he plays as like a Mike linebacker and how inconvenient he is. But like, PFF charted him on the line for 853 of his 974 snaps. It's slightly over 10% of his snaps that he played at linebacker, mostly in rundown situations, so he could go wreak havoc and shoot gaps.
You know what would solve this problem?
What's that?
Using the edge designation permanently at the NFL level.
How have they not? How have they not?
They started at the combine, so it's going to happen here.
I don't understand how the NFL is behind draft Twitter on these things. Like, all of draft Twitter. That's insane to me. That shouldn't happen.
Dude. I mean, so the thing with Clowney is, yes, the linebacker situation and that move in general is absurd, insulting.
It's ridiculous. A middle finger. Yeah.
Agree. Right. And Clowney is going to get unbelievably paid. Yeah. Right. Because mm-hmm. like the second Clowney became available, like it was known that he was going to move on from Houston, 31 defensive coordinators were waiting at 31 general manager's office with like a, you know, a large coffee and a box of donuts being like, hey,
yeah,
got something to talk to you about. It's this young man, 6'5", 265, doesn't get blocked. He might be interesting for our team, you know? And so the thing with Clowney is, and this is something that we've discussed, I've definitely written about it. I'm not sure how well it's been discussed on the podcast. I think I talked about it on the podcast. It is so prohibitive to trade for him, even if he says he wants to play here, which, like,
right,
yeah, if your options are Miami and Philadelphia, you probably want to play in Philly. But the fact that he, number one, needs to agree to sign the franchise tender,
mm-hmm.
and he has to play under it this year, so mm-hmm. he's not even going to get what he wants. And then you have to either have an extension in place with him the moment you sign him, which, again, cannot include this year, it can include later years, or you have to gamble on the fact that potentially he's not going to sign with you. He's going to hit free agency. And that's the thing, is like every team right now that is trying to trade for Clowney, that wants to trade for Clowney, namely the team I'm thinking of is the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins have over $100 million to throw at Clowney next year when he hits free agency. You know what I mean? And so, like, the bag is coming for Clowney regardless. Whether it's going to be next year. It doesn't matter where he lands this year. He's going to get a bag from somebody next year. So,
and I mean, honestly, would a guy with the knee issues that I already documented, would he want to play under a one-year contract this year? Why would he?
And then also, and this is the point that BLG brings up all the time, may he forever reign. Clowney's going to come here and be edge 2? Like, what's the snap count going to be like?
Is that right? Is that right, though? Like, I feel like he could probably be edge 1.
Right, edge 1. So you're telling Brandon Graham, who you just signed to an extension, like, no, you're only going to take 55% of the snaps,
no,
70% of the snaps with Clowney?
No, you're playing him on the opposite side, and Barnett's the one that kind of takes the hit there.
Right, and so now Barnett, who, you know, you drafted 2 years ago, 14th overall pick, no, we're going to trade, you know, a significant pick and probably a significant player to replace you and to put you in a rotational role again.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a hard sell in a defensive line room, specifically an edge room that's been told for a long time, hey, you're deep, you're great, you're going to be good. Like, as again, BLG well brings up, Chris Long ain't want to play for this team because the number of snap count, number of snaps he's going to get.
Right.
So there already weren't enough snaps to feed all the mouths. And now you're going to introduce Jadeveon Clowney? Like, you know, and Clowney's going to be happy with what he gets here? You know what I mean? Like, right. Clowney clearly is at least okay with the idea of not playing football this year. And so he might want to come play for Philly, but I don't know if playing time has been promised to him or if he's just a little bit presumptuous as to how much he's going to get. So there are multiple obstacles here.
Yeah.
The important thing to know. And then you also have to send things. Like, you also have to trade actual stuff. So there's too many bumps to get over. I'm not surprised Howie tested the waters. This is Howie Roseman. He tests the waters. It's what he does. But man, it's a tough sell for me. Yeah.
I love to have him here. And I see people on the timeline saying, hey, he's never had a 10 sack season. He's had two consecutive 9+ sack seasons. Like, I don't care about any of that. The guy covered Darren Sproles on an angle route on the goal line against the Eagles. Yep. It was incomplete. He had great coverage. Like, how do you stay with a guy like that at your side? The man's a freak, okay? But what would make you, Ben, personally comfortable with trading for Clowney? Because I'll say this, if it's a first round pick, it is absolutely Super Bowl or bust. Especially if they don't plan on resigning him or don't end up resigning him, and all they get back is a compensatory pick in the third round, which, by the way, as much as we obsess as a fan base over these extra picks and the formula and all that, that's a pick around the hundreds. That in no way to me justifies letting a first round pick fly, and maybe a second round pick is the asking price. Then, okay, are you downgrading your pick from probably 60 to around 100? I don't know. Then it becomes a little more interesting conversation for me. But if it's even less than that, which I'm hearing some people say, and I really don't know what to believe in, yeah, then screw rolling them over the cap space. You're going to end up with a really good football player for at least a year for a negligible pick swap. No brainer to me, pull the trigger. But basically, the cap isn't real until you try and trade for Jadeveon Clowney. The long-term cap ramifications that we've already kind of alluded to here are huge on this one. And the Eagles are already crossing their fingers and praying for relief in 2021 when the new CBA is negotiated. If they do this, they are 100%, no question, all in on this year. And the higher the compensation that they dole out, the more chips they've pushed in on this year, and I would not ignore that. And essentially, you can't justify, to me, mortgaging your future by shipping out high draft capital picks and not win a Super Bowl. And then go, oh, well, at least we got this pick in the hundreds so we can draft, Josh Huff, Jalen Watkins, Matt Barkley, or Curtis Marsh, which are all players that were drafted around that same area. The hit rate is too low.
Let's not go around disparaging Curtis Marsh, if you don't mind.
I'm just saying. The draft rate is so low, and the Eagles have been better at drafting that in that position lately, but, like, come on. Like, the historical hit rate is just bad. And I agree that you should give yourself more swings at the plate with draft picks and all that, but this is not that. Ben, is there any situation? Like I said, the only situation I'm comfortable with is if the rumors about it being like a third or a fourth, because the Texans have no leverage and Clowney will sign a one-year deal with us, which I really doubt. That's the only situation that I'm comfortable with. Is there any situation that you see happening where the Eagles could get this done and you'd be okay with it?
There's like a rock and a hard place in the sense of, like, you're not sending a one.
Right.
Too much.
Yep.
Once you start getting below a three and below a four, it's weird because the Texans won't recoup a compensatory selection from Clowney hitting free agency unless he plays. Don't quote me on that. I'm 78% sure, right? Like, you can't hold out for a whole year and then hit free agency and get paid and they get a comp pick. I'm pretty sure you have to actually play.
That makes sense.
I know I'm right, because if he doesn't play under the tag just resets.
Right.
Like, you know, he's got to go back to Houston. They still have his rights. Okay, so yeah. So that's kind of your rock and a hard place. I posit that, like, my asking price, like, what I bring to the table is, listen, the base of my deal is going to be a third. If you want Nelson Agholor, if you want, you know, they say they want to add a wide receiver to the stable. Yeah. Okay. If you want Nelson Agholor in a third, let's talk about it. Anything else you want from draft capital wise has got to be either conditional accelerator or completely conditional in terms of, I'm guaranteeing that he's playing for me, and I guarantee he's playing significant snaps for me. And this is specifically for Philadelphia.
Yep.
Because of the amount of bodies that are there. You also have a guy with injury history. You protect yourself from that a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. I will say, and this is a critical note, and not something I think you said incorrectly, just something that I want to specify.
Go for it.
If they trade for Jadeveon Clowney, then it is Super Bowl or bust. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful. We have to be cautious of assuming the converse is true, which I saw on the internet today. Like, you know, if the Eagles really were all about the Super Bowl, they would trade for Jadeveon Clowney.
Because this is a great team, by the way. This is a top three consensus team by media analysis, smart people outside of the Philadelphia area. I agree with you. This isn't like saying throw your hands up. Yeah, we'll wait next year.
I want to know where the Eagles' offer for Tom Brady was this offseason then. You know what I mean? Like, if they really wanted to win, why aren't they getting the winningest quarterback? Like, that's the thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
agree.
Like think about it with, like, Golden Tate, right? Like, when it was Golden Tate, like, all right, the Eagles' passing offense is going to be fixed because they've added Golden Tate. Well, the issue with that is you still need to integrate. You still need to handle, you know, getting him involved in the offense, for Clowney's involved in the defense, setting things up correctly, so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's there's a lot of levels to it. It's not nearly as easy as it seems to just add in Clowney. The defense will be better, but to what degree, how much of your future will you have to mortgage, so on and so forth. I will say, you're getting the third round compensatory pick back,
yep.
I'm assuming next year,
mm-hmm.
when he leaves. And so that can make it, you know, good in terms of sending the three. Because you're sending the three as part of the deal, because then you hypothetically get it back. Of course, as we know, you can't just assume comp picks are going to be neat. You know, the Eagles right now are not going to get a fourth back, because they're going to keep both LJ Four and Andrew Sendejo, at least on the initial 53-man roster. They may end up getting it if they cut Sendejo early or whatever. But the thing is, like, you can't just say, and they get a third-round comp pick back. It's not as clean as that.
That's true. So, Ben, before we go to break and we transition to some roster predictions, a percentage on what you think the Eagles' chances at acquiring Jadeveon Clowney.
Let me ask you this.
Mm.
At any given time in the world, what's the percent chance of Howie Roseman trading for a player?
100%, because he always at least makes the call.
Okay, then, like, 100%. You know what I mean? Like, it's like whatever percent... Well, this is how I tweeted this out. I said, yeah. The chance the Eagles trade for Clowney is whatever percent, like whatever level of you never count out Howie,
yeah.
plus nothing else. Like, that's just what it is. Like, it's like the Howie Roseman factor. You got to adjust to Roseman, and then that's it. Like, up yeah. from zero. You know what I mean? Like that. That's where they are. I think it's far, 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 far more likely that it's Miami.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if Miami's moving Laremy Tunsil, which would be unbelievably stupid. But that's a different conversation.
Absolutely. And there are reports on both sides. They're saying Tunsil's being, you know, put out there, Tunsil's not being put out there. So we'll see how this situation unfolds. And of course, if anything happens, we'll have you covered here at Bleeding Green Nation. And when we come back here on BGN on the Kiss and Solak show, we will talk about some roster predictions, because Saturday, August 31st, 4 p.m. is when those are due for the Eagles. We'll talk about it coming up next.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And we are back here on the Kissed and Solak Show, episode 113. Did I say one? Yeah, 113 here on Bleeding Green Nation, brought to you by SB Nation as well. Michael Kissed here with Benjamin Solak. Let's talk about some roster cutdowns here, how the Eagles will get to 53. And we kind of alluded to some earlier. I think the tight end situation with Alex Ellis is interesting. I think most of the discussion is going to be on the defensive side of the ball, and that's, do they keep Sharif Miller? The linebacker situation, you know, preseason darling Alex Singleton from the CFL versus regular season villain Nate Gary, how does that unfold? How many locks do you have? Because I think you're writing up a prediction for the 53-man roster for bleedinggreennation.com, right?
Yeah, it's up. Oh. It was up preseason. Yeah, it was up pregame. I have 50 locks. Wow. On a 53-man roster, which is, you know,
bonkers.
Like, a bit. It's several. Here, there's so this is where I am right now. I have three safeties locked, and I know they're going to take four, right? Mm-hmm. I have three tight ends locked, and I really, really think they're going to take four, and it's going to be Richard Rodgers. That one, I'm not positive you add another body to that one. I'm positive you add a fourth safety. And then the only other spot, the other spots where I might have an open idea, I have five linebackers right now, and they might take six. I have five corners, and they might take six. And as you said, it's defense that's the interesting spot, and a lot of it is because of potential injury, right? So we have on the bubble for me are TJ Edwards. The linebacker on the bubble is Orlando Scandrick. The corner on the bubble, I have Jonathan Cyprian and Rudy Ford. The safeties, and on the bubble, I have Richard Rodgers, Richard Rodgers, the tight end. So those are kind of the big bubble players that I think will be interesting. Greg Ward and Mark and Michelle might be bubble guys because they might want to carry six wide receivers. But even then, they would probably look to improve those guys. Steven Wisniewski and Nate Herbig might be bubble players if they really want to hold on to 10, but I don't think they will. And with Wiz, it makes more sense to cut him and then sign him back anyway because then the salary is not guaranteed. So,
yeah, because what has he got? $1.6 million saved by cutting Wiz. He was a disappointment last year, seemed disgruntled about losing his job. The Eagles brought him back, and he's been a disappointment in preseason, too.
Well, it's not even so much about the disappointment, like his quality of play or his saving the money. Because he's a vet man contract, it's guaranteed if he's on the roster week one. It's not if he's brought back after the 53-man cuts.
Okay.
And so you can cut him. If he clears waivers, re-sign him, and then he's just getting money on game checks. It's not guaranteed money, would still be coming from game checks. I mean, you love that, but you have two options. Don't play and make no money, or play and make money. It's not great, but it gives you the ability to move on from him if and when Brandon Brooks comes back healthy.
Who do you think they ultimately just decide there between Herbig and Wiz, or do they keep 9 or 10?
I think they keep 9. I think that, Brooks is like, back, not back, question mark. But you put Halupulivati Vaitai in at right guard. You have Matt Pryor, who can play both guard spots. You can kick Samo inside if there's a center injury. Pryor for both guard injuries. And then you have Dillard for both tackles. Mailata, who you'll never cut ever because you need to keep him. So that's how I approach offensive line, which then allows me to hold on to a fourth tight end, which I really think the Eagles need to do. Let's not forget, Dallas Goedert isn't like a healthy person right now. I mean, they expect him being ready for week one, but that's not locked in. And then, they're running so much 12 personnel, you really do need to have four tight ends. Six linebackers, even though the Eagles don't play a ton of base linebacker set, you have injury with Nigel Bradham, you have injury with Kamu Grugier-Hill, LJ Fort and Nate Gary are backup. So TJ Edwards, undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin, most likely player to make the 53-man roster of all those UDFAs that people get excited about. He's the one who looks like he's going to stick. And then fourth safety.
Hold on, over the hero of the night. Alex Singleton.
I love Alex. Listen, Alex Singleton is hilarious, and I'll tell you why. Because Singleton makes these plays, and he makes these faces when he gets up in these plays, and he like reacts to the camera, and he like shrugs his shoulders, as if like he's got this like sort of vibe. It's like, you should have asked about me. It's like, they don't know who you are, Alex.
I've done all of this in Canada. This is nothing new to me. That's what he looks like. It's crazy.
But no,
it's
like awesome. It's like how dare you test me like with this like screen pass. Like, Alex, they don't Davis know Webb. You, right? Like the opposing coaches, I promise you, could not identify you out of a crowd. They do not know what your name is. How could they test me like this? What I will say is that Alex Singleton is clearly going for the preseason career record of special teams tackles. I really appreciate that. He's got some gusto to him, and that's a good deal.
He looks like a special teams player, like the special teams player. He's got the hair going and everything. He probably can't cover with the salt. I really haven't watched a whole lot of his coverage reps, but like, he's just like that guy to me. He'll plug some holes in the run game, and he'll go beat you up on special teams. But outside of that, he's just a fan favorite for the hair and the crazy attitude, which I love about him. But so you think he's out? You think TJ Edwards is in? Which is interesting, and they carry six. Do I have that correct?
Yes. So that would be six of the linebacker, and then they're definitely carrying a fourth safety.
Mm.
Jason Thompson had the sick punch today, that nice little forced fumble. That was a lot of fun. So your battle is between Jonathan Cyprian, Rudy Ford, Trey Elston, Jason Thompson, DeAndre Hall. Trey Sullivan is gone. Pour one out for Trey Sullivan. Rest in peace. Mm.
I will not waste good alcohol on Trey Sullivan. Go ahead, though.
Here's the thing. Here's why I think it's Rudy Ford. I think it's Rudy Ford. And it's because all of these guys were already in the building, and then they traded a sixth round pick for Rudy Ford.
Mm.
Right? So, like, if one of these guys, they were like, yeah, we're cool with this guy being our safety four, that'll be a good time. I don't really think you make the trade for Rudy Ford, right?
Mm.
But if you're like, listen, can somebody in the name of God please just, like, be here and be a body who's not awful? That would be great. Then you go trade for Rudy Ford. And so I think it's between Ford and Cyprian. I honestly couldn't care less. Probably Rudy Ford.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So safety four is the spot. I don't know who's getting it, but I know it's going to be there.
What about corner six? Did you say who corner six was going to be? That's a lot of corners.
Right. So I don't have corner six because you go with five players. You're hoping Darby is healthy for week one. Right, he's been doing physical stuff, being in practice, not in 11-11s, but he's been practicing for a few weeks now. You've got Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, Avante Maddox.
Right.
All of these, Jones and Madison play both inside and outside. Cravon LeBlanc, you roster him, but he's still in a walking boot, as we know. Mills on the PUP list. So you're rolling with potentially only four healthy corners, but let's not forget Malcolm Jenkins, basically another nickel corner.
Can play nickel, yep.
Yeah, so you should be able to be chill, even if you don't have Ronald Darby for the first couple of games. If you really feel like you need another body, then you got to bring in Orlando Skandrick and you got to hold on to him. Now you're almost definitely going with five linebackers, and you're not signing Edwards or Singleton. So that's like that's to me 50 locks, and the moving pieces are safety, corner, linebacker. If you can get all three, try to get all three, but you probably have to keep four tight ends, in which case you got to give up one of those three. So there you go.
Do you have a guy that you love that you have the Eagles cutting that you want them to prioritize putting on the practice squad that maybe we like isn't like a name that we know is going to be on there, like a Clayton Thorson, or if Greg Ward doesn't know it, we know he's not going to be on there. It's like an outside guy that's like your 9th or 10th guy that you just love that you want to stick, but you're not quite sure.
Absolutely. Which I've been tweeting about him every single day.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Kevin Wilkins.
That is correct. To you watching him?
Yeah, listen, he's been doing awesome.
Listen, okay? And let's be very honest with one another. Kevin Wilkins will probably never be able to rush the passer in the history of his life.
Correct.
Okay? Explosiveness is just not in his vocabulary, all right? But he's got some, you know, like bowling ball power, right? He's able to push the peak of the pocket, so the bare minimum we need for an NFL player. But, dude, in the running game, he's fantastic. He's tremendous. Disruptive. He's upfield. He can shed. He can read through blocks. I think he's thrilling. I think he's a really good time. He's clearly practice squad eligible for sure.
Ben, I think that's going to do it for our recap show of the 0-6 week 4 preseason action. Talk some Clowney. We talk some roster predictions. So we'll see what unfolds Saturday. We'll have you covered here at BGN. But for now, Ben, I mean, I want to throw out there that BGN has some really exciting things coming our way this year that we have not announced yet, that we cannot announce yet, but I am chomping at the bit to get this stuff all wrapped up before the season and announce it to you, gentle listener. So keep an ear to the ground, and hopefully
we'll get that out. I can't wait to see what they are. I don't know what they are.
I know you don't. I'm keeping you in the dark, Ben. But yeah. Say goodbye to the gentle listeners.
Hey, so thank you for listening. This was the final preseason recap show of the 2019 preseason. This is what Michael and I do to earn the other fun stuff that we get to do for the other 11 months of the year. We are very excited to bring in the regular season, during which time good football players will play the sport they are professionally paid to play. The quality of the product will be strong. The takes will not be nearly... That's not true. The takes will be as fast and as rampant.
Correct.
The points will matter, and we will have legitimate takeaways. Everything will be real, and it will be beautiful. It'll be our second year here on the on BGN Radio, on the feed. We had an extraordinary year one, and we are excited for year two, especially because the Eagles are a very good football team that are going to win many games. Even though they went like 1-3 in this preseason or something
doesn't
like that.
Matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We love you. We are friends.
Calm down.
Record, rate, review the show. Thank you. And goodbye.
We all we got. We all we need. Fly, Eagles, fly.
They should really keep Danelle Pumphrey, don't you think?
G-N. Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.